بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the concise creed الوصية الصغرى لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. By شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. He continued to say: وعلم أن العناية بهذا من أشد ما بالإنسان الحاجة إليه. And know that the giving importance to this matter of taqwa is much needed. Rather, it's the most needed by man to take care of. And this is due to this greatness of this admonition. And what falls under it from knowing the sins and the type of sins and the means and ways to rid oneself from them and from the entailed punishments. And this should take precedence in terms of what man needs. Why? Because the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His worship and drawing nearer to Him, knowing what He informed us and what His Messenger told us, is from the most obligatory of all obligatory things and of the most important, of highest priority. And this constitutes the greatest causes which lead to happiness in this life and in the hereafter. He, rahimahullah, asserted in his book Al-Fatawa, saying that that man's need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's worship, not ascribing partners to Him in worship, has no equivalent whatsoever. It, however, may resemble from certain angles the need of the body for food and drinks, and yet there are distinct differences between them, because the reality of the slave is his heart and his spirit, and this reality cannot achieve its uprightness except by his remembrance subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's inevitable that it's on a journey leading to Allah, and there is no salah, no uprightness, except in meeting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there exists or occurs to the person certain enjoyments or happiness through other than Allah, then that is not lasting. It rather changes from type to type and from person to person. Sometimes enjoying it at certain times and certain conditions. Even sometimes this type of enjoyment may harm him. As to his God, Allah, his Ilah, his true God, فَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْهُ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. That's a must which he needs at all times and wherever he may be. And that's why the greatest verse in the Quran, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Allah, there is no true إله God except Him, the ever living القيوم, the one who subdues everything. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah further discussed this issue of man's need, that man is always in need, to know the messenger and what the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, believing in that in news he told and obeying him in that which he commanded. Because there is no way for happiness or the means that lead to happiness and success in this life nor in the hereafter except on the hands of the messengers. And there is no way to know what is good and what is evil in details except through their way. And Allah's pleasure with the believer cannot be attained except on their hands. So the good of deeds and sayings and moralities is only because of their guidance and what they brought. They are the scale and the reference to weigh the sayings and the actions and moralities, and through following them the people of guidance are distinguished from the people of misguidance. So the need for them is greater than the need of the body for the soul and of the eye for its sight and of the soul for its life. Any need whatsoever, any need whatsoever, when compared to the need of the slave for the messengers, then the latter excels it profoundly. And since the happiness of the slave in this life and in the hereafter is dependable upon the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is incumbent on everyone who advises himself first and loves for his own salvation and for his happiness to know the guidance of the Messenger and his life, so that he becomes from his followers and from his party. And people with regard to this are of different types, some taking only a certain extent, others taking more, and others deprived. And the favor is in the hands of Allah. He gives it to whomever He wishes. Then Shaykh al-Islam continued to say, after making this note, how the matter of taqwa is of this great deal of importance and the priority, then he said, فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ حِينِ يَبْلُمْ خُصُوصًا فِي هَذِهِ الْأَزْمِنَ وَنَحْوِهَا مِنْ أَزْمِنَةِ الْفَتَرَاتِ التي تشبه الجاهلية من بعض الوجوه، فإن الإنسان الذي ينشأ بين أهل علم ودين قد يتلطخ من أمور الجاهلية بعدة أشياء، فكيف بغير هذا؟ He said, man, when he reaches the stage of adultery, or at the stage of puberty, and becomes under the pen of legal responsibility in these times, and he's talking about his times and the like, from the times of periods of fatarat. What is fatarat? Where there is either a disconnection of the message or there is weakness in the deen in general, after strength, weakness in the sunnah, in adherence to the sunnah, and the ilm, the knowledge weakens, and the light of the message dims, and jahl, ignorance, spreads, and bid'ah becomes abundant. He said these resemble from certain angles the pre-Islamic eras. Verily, he said, a man, even he, if he is raised amongst people of knowledge and deen, may be influenced negatively by these matters of jahiliyyah. So think of the one who is not amongst the people of knowledge and people of deen. What would his situation be? And the people of jahiliyyah were known for ignorance and being away, removed from deen. So if the person who is raised between two Muslim parents, or amongst two Muslim parents who know of Allah, or he may be living in an environment of knowledge and worship and sunnah, even if this person himself may be influenced negatively by such impurities, like, for example, from the impurities of jahiliyyah, being proud of lineage, or the opposite, wailing over the dead, striking the sheikhs, tearing clothes and garments, and even worse, from matters of shirk in all of its forms. The person may be influenced negatively by some of these matters of jahiliyyah, even if he may be raised amongst people of an environment of deen. So what about the person who is not in such an environment? Someone who may have been raised in shirk and superstition and innovation and environment of jahl, of ignorance, then him being affected by these matters of jahiliyyah is more intense. So in summary, what Sheikh al-Islam is referring to is that from the time man reaches the stage of puberty and he is under the legal responsibility, if he is under these environments where jahl is spread and bid'ah and innovations and following lowly desires, then he may be affected by some of the dust of these things, and therefore he will carry some impurities from these afflictions. Even though he may be raised in a righteous environment, then what about the person who is raised in a time or a place where superstition and ignorance is prevailing? Certainly, he may get absorbed and normalized into that. Then he said, rahimahullah, he cited the following hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id, and also the origin of which is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, لتتبعن سنن من كان قبلكم حذو القذة بالقذة حتى لو دخلوا جحر ضب لدخلتموه قالوا يا رسول الله اليهود والنصارى قال فمن you will follow the practices of your predecessors inch by inch yard by yard so much so that if they were to enter a lizard's hole you would also fall therein when they asked the companions when they asked if the Prophet ﷺ meant the Jews and the Christians he ﷺ said who else I mean if not them who else so you follow them you follow their deeds and their ways you follow their ways and actions and they're such that you may resemble them and assume their manners inch by an inch yard by yard and this is from some of the people of knowledge rahimahumullah said this is from his miracles this statement by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a miraculous statement because many of this ummah followed the ways of the Jews and the Christians and the Romans and the Persians in their characters in their mounts in their clothes in the manifestation of the religion in wars in habits in the beatifications of the masajid and in the magnification of the graves and taking it as masajid until they worshipped it and of they worshipped its occupants and they established the punishments on the weak but not the strong and they abandoned the work on Fridays and took the rabbis and the monks as lords besides Allah and turned away from the book of Allah and came forward towards the books of misguidance and magic and philosophy and rhetoric and denying the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which he described himself with or his messenger described him with all of these things following in that the Jews and the Christians and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبِّ لَدَخَلْتُمُوا to the extent if they were to enter the lizard hole you would also follow pursuit meant that his ummah will not leave anything that the Jews and the Christians do except that they will do it follow them on that and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith said فَمَن when he was asked as to who if he meant by them the Jews and the Christians he said فَمَن and this is like who else other than the Jews and Christians and there is like a form of denunciation it can be nothing none except them in this hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam it should be pointed that he mentioned the Jews and the Christians and the Bukhari's narration Persians and the Romans and there is no contradiction between the two here it's apparent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this ummah will follow the paths of the nations before from religions from habits from the legislative matters and the like interpreting it by mentioning some nations does not negate the interpretation concerning the others mentioned in the other narrations because what is intended here is to what's intended here is not limiting it to a certain nation but just to give examples it is not meant to be restricted only to one of them of these nations this hadith Shaykh al-Islam said هذا خبر تصديقه في قوله تعالى فاستمتعتم بخلاقكم كما استمتع الذين من قبلكم بخلاقهم وخضتم كالذي خاضوا. This is affirmed, the Prophet ﷺ saying is affirmed from the Quran in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah 9:69. فاستمتعتم بخلاقكم كما استمتع الذين من قبلكم بخلاقهم وخضتم كالذي خاضوا. ولهذا شواهد في الصحاح والحسان. Like those before you, they were mightier than you in power and more abundant in wealth and children. There comes the point of evidence here. They had enjoyed their portion a while. So enjoy your portion a while as those before you enjoyed their portion a while. And you indulged in play and pastime as they indulged in play and pastime. In his book Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim, following the straight path in opposing the people of hellfire, Shaykh al-Islam said about this verse, in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined the enjoyment and indulging in play, because the corruption of the deen, it takes place either through false conviction or acting in opposition to the correct and truthful creed. The first, through false conviction and uttering that, this covers the innovation and the like. And the second, through acting in opposition to the correct creed, this speaks of فسق الأعمال ونحوها, the corruption of the deeds and the like. And the bid'ah is of the shubuhat, meaning it comes through the shubuhat, unclear matters. And the other, which is the corruption in the actions, comes from the angle of lust. And that's why the righteous predecessors, he continued to say rahimahullah in his book Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim, Mukhalafatu Ashab al-Jahim, that's why the Salaf used to say احذروا من الناس صنفين, be aware of two types of people, صاحب هوى فتنه هوى, a person who follows his lowly desire, afflicted with his desire, وصاحب دنيا أعمته دنيا, another, a person for this life, dedicated for it, blinded by it. And they used to say, the Salaf رحمهم الله, they used to say احذروا فتنة العالم الفاجر, beware of the fitna of the scholar, the wicked one, والعابد الجاهل, and the ignorant worshipper, فإن فتنتهما فتنة لكل مفتون, that fitna is a fitna for everyone who may fall into fitna or is in fitna. The first one, meaning the wicked, the scholar, the fitna of him, the fitna of the wicked, the scholar, he said, هذا يشبه المغضوب عليهم, المغضوب عليهم. This resembles those who deserve the wrath of Allah upon them. those who know the truth and they don't follow it. And the other resembles the misguided, who acts without knowledge. انتهى كلامه, his words finished, his statement. In another place, rahimahullah, he mentioned that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, فَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِخَلَاقِكُمْ, so you enjoyed your portion as those before you enjoyed their portion. This is denoting اتِّبَاعِ الشَّهَوَاتِ, following lusts, and this is the disease of the sinful ones. And then he said, وَخُطْتُمْ كَالَّذِي خَاضُوا, and so you indulged in that which they indulged in. This is indicating or denoting following the shubuhat, following the doubtful matters, the unclear ones. And he said, وَهَذَا دَاءُ الْمُبْتَدِعَ, and this is the sickness and illness of the, or the disease of the مُبْتَدِعَ, the innovators, وَأَهْلُ الْأَهْوَاءِ, and people of desires, and the people of disputes. And so often these two types, so often they come together, such that it will be rare that you find someone who has corruption in his creed, except that it will manifest itself in his actions. And this verse indicates that those before enjoined and indulged, and those who came after did the same, like them. Then he said, فَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ وَخُطْتُمْ, enjoyed and indulged. This is information of the occurrence of this in the past. And it is a blame upon those who will do it until the day of resurrection. Just like all the other news which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the kafirs and the munafiq at the time of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blaming, holding it blameworthy upon everyone who will be like their condition, will be in like their condition. And this could be khabaran an amrin da'imin mustamir, this could also cover, be an information of a continuous matter. And then he said in this book here, after he cited this verse and he explained it in other places in his books, he said, وَلِهَذَا شَوَاهِدُ فِي الصِّحَاحِ وَالْحِسَانِ, and there is evidence for this in the books of hadith that are authentic or good, that contain good and authentic narrations. In fact, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah established his book Iqtida'u al-Sirat al-Mustaqim Mukhalafatu Ashab al-Jahim, which he mentioned earlier, based upon this great foundation, which is the prohibition to resemble and take the manners and assume the manners of the people of hellfire. That's why he named his book Iqtida'u al-Sirat al-Mustaqim Limukhalafati Ashab al-Jahim, the following or adhering to the righteous or the straight path, Limukhalafati Ashab al-Jahim, in opposing the people of the hellfire. Or it also could mean that the straight path entails the opposition to the path of the Ashab al-Jahim, the people of heaven. Then he continued, وَهَذَا أَمْرُ, and this matter of taking the manners of those before, of the Jews and the Christians, قَدْ يَسْرِي, may occur, فِي الْمُنْتَسِبِينَ إِلَى الدِّينِ, for those who ascribe to the deen, from the خَاصَّة, from the particular ones, as كما قال غير واحد من السلف, as more than one of the Salaf had mentioned, أمنهم ابن عيينة, Sufyan al-Imam, who was born in 107 in Kufa in Iraq, and he was very reliable and a great narrator, and he was the Muhaddith of Hijaz in Mecca. He died in the year 198 after Hijra, and his age was 91 years. He was 91 years of age when he died. He said, Shaykh al-Islam, he named him as one of those who asserted this matter, that the resemblance to the people before, from the Jews and the Christians, may transmit to those who are ascribed of the particular even, who ascribe themselves to the deen. Shaykh al-Islam continued, فَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْ أَحْوَالِ الْيَهُودِ قَدْ ابْتُلِيَ بِهِ بَعْضُ الْمُنْتَسِبِينَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وكثير من أحوال النصارى قد ابتلي به بعض المنتسبين إلى الدين. Many of the conditions of the Jews did influence some of those ascribed to the knowledge, and similarly the conditions of the Christians. كما يبصر ذلك من فهم دين الإسلام الذي بعث به الذي بعث به محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم أو الذي بعث الله به محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم نزله على أحواله الناس على أحوال الناس. As this is evident from those who understood the deen of Islam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with, and who made this understanding of the deen. نزله على أحوال الناس, applied it, applied this correct understanding to check the conditions of people in terms of their correct ascribing to the deen or otherwise. What is the saying of Sufyan which he was referring to, or the saying of the Salaf concerning this? Sufyan said, Rahimahullah, من فسد من علمائنا, the one who becomes corrupt from our scholars, then he has a resemblance to the Jews, for he has some resemblance to the Jews. And those who are corrupt from عبادنا, from our worshippers, then they have a resemblance or a resemblance from the Nasara, or to the Nasara, to the Christians. And when he said بعض المنتسبين إلى العلم, those who are يعني ascribed to the knowledge, from the people of knowledge, like in this case Ahlul Kalam, the people of rhetoric and the like. And he said Ba'dul Muntasibin al-Din, those who ascribe themselves to the Deen, those who are known from the Sufi worshippers and the like. And he, Shaykh al-Islam, said in his book Iqtida' al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, clarifying or explaining the causes for the kufr of the Jews and the Christians, he said, واليهود مقصرون عن الحق, and the Jews are negligent concerning the truth. والنصارى غالون فيه, and the Christians are, or the Christians exaggerated in their deen. And that the kufr of the Jews, the origin of which is من جهة عدم العمل بعلمهم, because they did not act according to their knowledge. فهم يعلمون الحق, because they know the truth. ولا يتبعونه عملا, and they don't manifest it in action, and follow it to, and manifest it in action, or on saying and sayings or in deeds. As to the Christians, the kufr of the Christians, it is from the angle of acting without knowledge. So they exert themselves in different forms of worship without any legal proof from Allah. And they say of Allah that which they have no knowledge of. And he said that those who contemplate and understand Islam, as in the book and the Sunnah, and وَكَمَا فَهِمَ الصَّحَابَ وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and then they look and check the people's conditions, then he would come to notice the disease and the illness, the disease of resembling the people of the book, and he would check and find that it really penetrated some of the particular ones. So how about the common ones? We continue inshallah ta'ala the rest of the book tomorrow. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.